The following sermon was delivered by Reverend Natalie Owens Pike in the sanctuary of Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church in New York City. We welcome you to worship with us every Sunday in person or on live stream. For details, go to fapc.org. And now, here's Reverend Natalie Owens Pike.
Friends, in our Lenten sermon series this year, we have sought out stories of resilience of the Spirit in our tradition. Resilience in the crowd who lauded Christ as he paraded into Jerusalem on a lowly donkey. Resilience in the woman who sought a healing miracle after years of struggle. Resilience in the faithfulness of the apostles following Jesus step by step. And tonight, we seek resilience in the scripture of Maundy Thursday. As Jesus prepares for his arrest and death, Jesus humbles himself to wash the feet of the disciples, showing us, teaching us how to live out his new commandment. What does this scripture ask of us as we aspire to follow Jesus? Will it challenge us to receive the tender love of Christ, our servant, who lifts our feet to be washed? Or does it ask us to live the charge the disciples receive, to do for each other this task of love, this kneeling in servanthood without looking away? Will you please pray with me as we wonder together? Holy One, as we walk with you toward the cross, guide our feet. We thank you that you took on flesh to be with us, that you teach us through these bodies we share how to show up for each other in love. God, be with us now to interrupt our resistance. Inspire us to serve as you served, to love as you loved. Amen. Hear now the word of God as it comes to us from the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 1 through 15. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason, he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, he put on his robe and returned to the table. He said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done for you." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, I do a lot of reading during my commute here to church on the train, and I listen to podcasts too. And I'm always delighted that I can do these two things at once. I can be on my way to work and also be learning. And this week, my learning reinforced what I've been hearing from some of you, that we are living in lonely times. Across this country, we are hungry for connection, for communities, and for relationships where we can bring the fullness of who we are, to be cared for and to be understood. I listened this week to our Surgeon General, Dr. Vivek Murthy, speak with Krista Tippett on her podcast On Being. Dr. Murthy described an epidemic of loneliness, a threat to American health equal in severity than any other public health crisis that we face. Equal in severity. More than half of Americans today report feeling lonely. And this loneliness, it is making us sick. It's literally breaking our hearts, leading to greater risk of heart disease, physical illness, and early death, with an impact many times more than smoking 15 cigarettes a day. And this isolation, as you might imagine, has political consequences too. A Cambridge University Press study found recently that Americans' core networks are significantly smaller and more politically homogeneous than any other period in our history. Our systems of government cannot function in such levels of polarity. You might recognize the gridlock it creates. And the less time that we spend with people who we differ from, the easier it is for us to drift towards extremism. But perhaps this is a case I don't have to make to you, my friends, because alongside my fellow pastors up here, we have heard you tell us these truths in your own words and in your own stories as you seek community here. So did it strike you, as it did for me, to rehear or reread this story of Jesus and his disciples with this community-wide loneliness in mind? Jesus spent his final hours before his arrest and death together in close community, showing his disciples how to serve each other in his absence, building a bridge for them into the active how of Christian love and discipleship we are called to. Our gospel writer makes sure that we hear that Jesus knew his time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Jesus knew he would leave the disciples, and he gave them actions of service so that his love would endure all the way down to us in these lonely times. So in this service of Maundy Thursday, we honor this mandatum, Latin for commandment, which refers to John 13:34. Which is just a few verses after the scene we encounter, where Jesus says, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another." This is a vision of resilience that comes through serving each other and, crucially, allowing ourselves to be served in love. But the disciples don't accept this teaching smoothly. No, they remind us of a very human struggle to follow as Jesus commands. They resist his gentle care of their road-ravaged feet. They say, incredulous, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus replies, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." They resist using words like "never." They question again, "Will you wash not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well?" I wonder who you see yourself as in this moment. Would you resist this act of love? Or would you jump at the opportunity to be zealous, to be seen as most worthy, wash my hands and head as well? Now, I have to confess, I'm grateful that we don't do the literal service of foot washing tonight, but I do love that this story centers around our feet, this area of our body that we might have shame over, that we take care to cover up. Our feet, they bear us up and they look the part, don't they? You too might have blisters or weathering or scars. You cannot look away from the path someone has trodden by looking at their feet. And these disciples, they've been following Jesus step by step, and I bet that their feet show it. Each callus and blister, the dirt under each nail telling their story, they have accumulated this texture of life, going from town to town, preaching the gospel of Jesus and this message of love, denouncing the power-hungry and the greed of the empire. They have followed him on foot, and now they can't believe he will kneel to strip the grime they've gathered on their way here. Take a look at your bulletin cover tonight. These painted feet show veins and wounds and hair and toenails, all this evidence of our humanness. But in between, we see bright threads of streaming gold, the alchemy of sacred healing touch that Jesus shares in seeing all of who we are, knobby toes and all, and holding us with love in the process. Thinking back to our Surgeon General in his concern for all of our well-being, Dr. Murthy noted that early in our human history, when we lived as packs of roving hunter-gatherers, there those of us who tried to go it alone just wouldn't survive. Away from the pack, we would be eaten by a predator. And yet, so many hundreds of years later, though we have been taught by the conditions of our economy and our world that it is our individual efforts that matter more than the whole, or that we earn our most valuable reward when we go it alone, it is Dr. Murthy who reminds us we have the same nervous system today that we did back then. When we receive signals over time of the stress of loneliness, our body gets the message we are missing something crucial for our survival. We remember in our bodies that we need our pack to survive. This resilience cannot be found in our individual efforts alone. No, our resilience and our sustenance lie in the upper room with our community. Lie in the warmed bowl of water, in the hands of the kneeling king, in the vulnerability of removing the armor of our shoes, and yes, even our stinky socks, and saying, "Yes, my Lord, you can cradle my feet. Yes, my Lord, I too will kneel to serve the ones I love. Yes, we will get down on the floor in the mess and the dirt of our lives to offer each other the naked gnarls of our blistered feet, and we will offer each other too clean water, fresh towels, just a few moments where I lift your burden from the earth, where you too are held in loving hands." These are the steps of our faithful feet, taking up the commandment of the Christ who sees the cross before him. Love one another. Love in ways that honor our doubt and vulnerability, and yes, even love yourselves this way. Love by receiving this gesture of love. Love, knowing nothing you do can separate you from this love. Not the doubt of Simon, the betrayal of Judas, the denial of Peter. Love, knowing it will not be easy to love in this way. Many of you know that I grew up in Minneapolis, Minnesota. So my feet spent most of the year, from about October to May, shoved into the soft warmth of a winter boot. But there was always this moment when spring finally came as a kid, and we ran around barefoot for the very first time on our soft winter feet. And now that I live in Brooklyn, I would never do this barefoot. But the sidewalk in Minneapolis is just a little different. When you've just taken your soft winter feet out of those boots, you have no calluses to protect you, and you feel every stick, every rock, every tiny pebble underfoot. And we did all this running tender-footed across our city yards, some because we wanted to look tough to the fellow neighbor kids, of course, but some because we knew, like every other spring, there would come a moment where we wouldn't feel so exposed to every rocky bit of ground. We'd have our summer soles again. We would be used to it. We'd run across the street and not even notice those sharp tacks of loose asphalt that used to sting. It would be like second nature to go about with no shoes. So take heart if this commandment leaves you feeling tender-footed today, wondering where this support will come from or how hard it might be for you to kneel to offer it. Learning, as we are in this scripture, that serving one another in love means we have to change the posture that we're used to, the one that we're comfortable in. We might be like Simon Peter, resisting the tender care of the one we think we should be supporting. Or maybe we might rather kneel, holding up the feet of those we love, tender-footed to the receiving of a love this wide, this forgiving, this bold. But this is what we learn through the stories of our faith. We can admit where we do not yet fully understand. We can accept the growing pains of concrete under tender feet, trusting that someday it might be like second nature to us. So as we turn our looking towards the cross, let us listen for the loving Christ who asks, "Will you kneel to serve your neighbor? Will you let yourself be held?"
We hope this sermon has been meaningful to you and given you a measure of hope, encouragement, and good news. If you would like to make a donation to support this audio ministry, please visit fapc.org/give. Thank you, and blessings to you on this day.